Father, we have come once again, and we know that you always go before us. You were, you have been, and you always be before us. Thank you for drawing us to your presence tonight. Thank you for always creating in us a hunger and a thirst for more of you. Thank you for giving us the grace to partner with you for your purpose in our own time. Father, I thank you for everyone on this line. I thank you for their families, for their ministries. Father, for everything that you have blessed them, that has empowered them so far, God, to do your will. Thank you so much. Thank you that you reward your children who have so diligently waited upon you. Father, thank you. Receive all the glory and honor tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I know it's amazing how tired some of us can be, and we still are on the line. But we thank you so much for your faithfulness. Like Sister Billy said, you know, thank you for muting your phone so that that way we all can flow together. This year, as we were preparing to enter 2018, I shared with you in the past a little bit, but the Lord is really placing emphasis on this prayer point that I've been sharing with you, and the way we can continue to press in it, and why God is really stressing the need for us to really meditate on this prayer, to really give ourselves to praying the will of God, the importance of it. As we go through the year, we're going to be praying and focusing on this. The focus that the Lord is really laying on my heart, really strong, is, get some water to drink. God bless you. This prayer point is based on a desire of the disciples as they see Jesus fulfilling his destiny on the earth. They asked him, they prayed him, teach us to pray, teach us to pray. And every one of this line, that should be our heart desire always, not to feel that we have arrived, but to constantly ask the Holy Spirit to teach us, to help us to really pray like the Lord will have us pray. So when they asked for that, then Jesus gave this very prophetic model, this strategic prayer. Yeah. Please, if you can mute your phone, that would be great. Thank you so much. So as he taught this prophetic prayer, and this is what the Lord gave. He says, when you pray, you say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Then he says, thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's where everything came alive in me this year, going into 2018. The Lord kept stressing, my will, thy will, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will be done in America as it is in heaven. God's will be done in any ministry on this line as it is. God's will be done in our family. God's will be done in my life, your life. And that's the focus. But as we go through this year, we'll be looking at why, all through the Bible, why it is important, especially in 2018, for we to really focus on the will of God. On the will of God. Yeah, we shared last week how some people will come, last 2 weeks, how some people will come and say, I did so many mighty works in your name. But Jesus will say, depart from me, I know you not, you workers of iniquity. The verse before them was, because the only people that will enter the kingdom of God are those who do the will of God. So we're going to continue in that area today, and we want to look at I want to read a few scriptures to continue in the direction of why we need to really pray the will of God and wait on His will this year. Amen. My first scripture is from the book of John. John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." So we see from this very scripture that the Word of God is the will of God, is the heart of God, is God Himself, is the kingdom, is the manifestation of the kingdom of God, like it says in Hebrews 1. So if the Word of God is the will of God, and the will of God is God, you know, manifested in the flesh, and the will of God is brings the light of God and prevails over darkness, and the will of God is what manifests the power of God, then that means we really need to pray that it will be done as you have it in heaven. Let it be manifested on earth as you programmed it. So we see that the kingdom of God is enforced through the will of God. Now, so the verse I want to read next here is John chapter 1 verse 13. Verse 12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Then verse 13 says, "Which were born not of the blood," not of blood, so not of fleshly blood from the Adamic nature, "nor of the will of the flesh." So the flesh has a will. "Nor of the will of man." So man has a will, but of God. So we see that there's a will that is driven by bloodline, the Adamic bloodline. There's a will that is driven by the flesh, and there's a will that is driven by the will of man. And then we see that then there's the will of God. So which is the Word of God? Now, I want to read a few scriptures again tonight to help us move into the direction of the Lord. I want to open to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians chapter, I want to read Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 22 to 23. Galatians chapter 4, verse 22. It says, For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bond maid, the other by a free woman. But he who was born of the bond woman was born after the flesh, or you call the will of the flesh. But he of the free woman was born by promise, or you say the will of God. Which things are an allegory? For these things are two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which leads to bondage, which is Haggai. For this Haggai is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which is and is in bondage with her children. Then I will jump to verse 28 to 31. Verse 28 said, Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Or as Isaac was, we are the children of God's will. Verse 29, but as then he that was born after the flesh, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, What saith the scripture? Cast out the bond woman and her son, for the son of the bond woman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bond woman, meaning children of the flesh, or born of the will of the flesh, but of the free, or born of the spirit. Okay, let's continue. We'll go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, I'll read from verse 17. I'll read verse 16. It says, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, or the will of the flesh. For the flesh lusted or wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh, or what you say, the will of the flesh, the manifestations of the will of the flesh are these. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seduction, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, such and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let me stop there for now. We'll read a few more scriptures. This will be in 1 Corinthians 15. Let me just go ahead and read that now. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, I'll read from verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit, a living spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterwards, that which is spiritual. Verse 47. The first man is of the earth and is earthly. It's made of flesh, dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven, of the spirit. Verse 48. As is the earthly, fleshly man, so are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image meaning the characteristics, the likeness of the earthly or the fleshly man, we shall also bear or put on the image or characteristics of the heavenly. Then he repeated what he wrote to the Galatians in verse 50. He says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, that in other words, that which is born of the will of the flesh or the bloodline of men, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither that corruption inherit incorruption. Father, open our eyes, O God, as we look to you and as we covenant with you to seek you and to wait on your will. Help us to have understanding, and that way we'll give ourselves to the grace, to the passion to just live for your will and allow you to crucify the flesh in us, and then you will be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we pray the will of God, we're saying, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. And this was the teaching of Jesus in prayer, generally praying the scriptures, what is God's plan. Something begins to happen And what begins to happen is a war begins to take place. And the greatest war we fight sometimes is not the it's not all the devil spiritual. One of the biggest battles we fight is already trying to overcome already the fruit, the manifestation or the works of the devil that is already on us, which is the flesh. So John was describing, you know, in John chapter 1 about the revelation of the manifestation of the will of God, which is the perfect example, which is Jesus. He says here, Jesus is the manifestation of the heart of God, the will of God from heaven became flesh and all that. Then he says, as many as will believe the gospel, they will be born again and they will now have the nature of the Son of God. But he says this nature, which is the will of God and not the will of the blood, not the will of the blood, meaning Adamic blood. One, it's not the will of the flesh, which is already the corrupt flesh nature. Then it's not the will of man, which is the plans, the purposes, the intention of man, but the will of God. So the greatest worship, the greatest thing we can ever do to please God is obedience. The whole fall of man came from disobedience. And the only way to please God is through obedience. So what Jesus is saying here is, when we pray the will of God, there's a war that begins to take place. The first war that begins to take place is a war between the flesh and the spirit. And Paul started explaining to us the reason for this warfare. I'm going a little faster. But he was explaining to us the reason for all the scriptures I read. In 1 Corinthians 15 and Galatians 2, he said, is because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Basically saying, flesh and blood cannot obey God. Our flesh can never obey God because the flesh is the manifestation, fruit of a fallen nature. It's corrupt. It can never obey God. And obedience is what God is looking for. Obedience brings us in alignment with the will of God. So he's saying for us to be able to, how many times will God speak to us? How many times will God show us things? The reason why we don't obey or we don't even believe what God is showing to us is because our flesh will not accept it and our flesh is not willing to surrender because of fear and so many things. So Paul is explaining the process as we begin to pray the will of God, as we begin to seek and wait on the will of God, the process that this takes before we can come to the place where God can, we can be obeying God without hindrances. And he described it this way. He says it's a war that takes place. And the war is between your spirit man and your flesh man. And this war is so, is internal. It's the internal war. He says it's a war between your spirit and your flesh so that you will not do, you will not be able to do what you want to do to please God. He says this war is between the works of the flesh to be able to manifest the fruit of the spirit, which is the nature of God. So he described and used an example as the Galatian church was struggling with obedience, and after they've experienced this baptism of the Spirit, they've experienced a lot of things, they're praying, but all of a sudden they are going back again, struggling with things in the flesh. So Paul started explaining to them what is going on among them and why they are going back again to bondage. So for them to understand this internal war and why they should allow what God is doing, allow God to crucify their flesh so that they will be able to have the manifestation of the spirit man so that they can obey God, he started using an allegory, meaning he started using an example, an illustration in the natural. And that's the best way I always understand when God is showing me something. Paul does it a lot. So Paul started using an example, but he used the Old Testament example in the natural. And this is how he described it. I read it to you here in Galatians chapter 4. He says Abraham had two sons. And he says one of them is born of the flesh or of a bond woman. He said the other one is born of a promise, or like I said, the will of God. He said there's a war, two of them, there's war between that which is born of the flesh and that which is born of the spirit. Like John said, the will of the flesh, the will of mind. So there's a war between those two. And it says this war was between the Hagar's son and Sarah's son. Hagar's son is the will of the flesh. What is the will of the flesh? Sometimes when we think about the will of the flesh, we think it's just a will. No. This will, this thing we call the will of the flesh or the will of man, is the wisdom, the fallen wisdom of man that manipulates or does not submit to the will of God. How does that wisdom manipulate, or how does that will work? Paul describes the operation of the will of the flesh in Galatians chapter 4 as the works of the flesh. I named all of them to use the word witchcraft, use the word envying, all this stuff. If you put it together, is a wisdom. Because that wisdom is so hidden to man that it controls man without man knowing the will of the flesh. So, for example, that was the wisdom that gave birth to Ishmael through Hagar. God was trying to kill this wisdom. He was trying to kill, he's already killed Sarah's ability to manifest God's plan in her flesh. Then Abraham was getting old. God was teaching them a lesson. But now at that stage, this wisdom came up. And it's not intentional. It's just who we are. We are just human, but we've fallen. But there's a wisdom that comes with man. It's a very, very, very smart, very tricky wisdom. So he came out and said, you know what? This might be the plan God has. Since my womb is dead, I think it will be my wife. It will be my handmaid, you know? So, because it makes sense. Just like Eve at the garden looked at the tree, it made sense when he was listening to the devil, that wisdom that men inherited from the fall. So this same wisdom, and Abraham and Sarah agreed on this wisdom. And this is the wisdom that gives birth to the will of the flesh or the will of man. And that's what Ishmael represents. So Paul used a very natural illustration and say there's a wisdom at play. But it's the intention of man to make things happen on behalf of God rather than waiting for the will of God. So whenever the will of man or the will of flesh is manifested, that always was against the will of God. So use that example to them about the war between Ishmael and Isaac. And up till today, there is a descendant in the flesh of this Ishmael that is still causing pain for the whole world, even through the Islamic lineage, even through all these various religions, but especially through the Islamic media, is still causing problem for man. What Nigeria is facing, what most are still through the fleshly lineage. It doesn't mean that this book cannot be born again, but this is what came out of the wisdom of the will of the flesh. So Paul talks about that. So now, Paul started explaining why we need to surrender, surrender to the will of God so that the will of the flesh or the will of man can die. Because it says the flesh man cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, he started explaining another illustration. He says, God started with the first man, Adam, and later he brought the spiritual side. He says, so as we have put on the image of the flesh man, so the image of the flesh man is the flesh man we see externally, the fallen man. He said, we put on the image of the flesh man. It's real, is the descendant of the first Adam, and is now corrupt. It cannot inherit the will of God. We know it. We know this. Paul described the works of the flesh. But he says, now that we are born again, for those that are born again, we now have the will of God inside of us. We now have the promise of God inside of us. We now have the spirit man inside of us. So what Jesus is saying, when we are born again, our prayer should be, God, let who we are, your will inside of us, come in agreement with what you have in heaven for us. Let what we, the one that is born again, who we are on the inside, be in agreement with the plan of God for who we are on the inside. Which means we should identify with who we are in Christ. And then when we pray the will of God, we are saying, God, let your purpose for who I am on the inside be manifested on earth as it is in heaven. So our prayer is, God, let your will in relation to who I am in Christ be manifested to reveal your kingdom. So when we pray that prayer, we are indirectly saying, God, crucify my flesh. God, kill my fleshly man, so that my spirit man can grow, come alive, and be able to obey you. Because flesh men can never obey God, because it's carnal. That's why we struggle. But the spirit man, by nature, is a nature of obedience. So, when Jesus says, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, he's saying, you know, physically, we look physically, what we have on is the flesh man. But when we pray, we are praying, say, God, who I am spiritually, you know. And the very assignment for which I'm born again, the very assignment for which you have destined or predestined my spirit man to fulfill, I'm praying that you reveal it to me. As in heaven, show me what your purpose for my spirit man should serve in the earth. You know, show me what you plan for America, not what man planned for America. Show me what you plan for my city, not what man has already established for my city. See, so this is how it works. When we pray, God, your will be done in my life as it is in heaven, when we pray that prayer, then that prayer enforces or brings us under an open heaven of the kingdom of God being enforced in our lives. But when we don't pray the will of God, then that's when we have a spiritual warfare. What do I mean by that? The kingdom of God enforces the will of God. Anything that is not the will of God is enforced by the powers of darkness. Satan can never enforce the will of God. Neither can God enforce the will of the flesh, because they are enemies. God will not use his power to fulfill the will of the flesh. God will not use his power of his kingdom to fulfill the will of man. The power and the kingdom of God is to fulfill the will of God. And so, the will of man is, and the will of the flesh is perpetuated by the powers of darkness. So, in spiritual warfare, especially as God is raising us, if we are not defeating, if we're not winning the battle internally, if we are not allowing God to crucify the flesh so that our spirit man can be strong, most of our defeat is not the external battle. It's not Satan. Our defeat is always the internal war, which is the flesh, which is the flesh. So that's why Paul says, you must cast out, you must crucify the flesh. You must cast out the children of the bondwoman, because the children of the bondwoman cannot be heir with the children of promise. So, because of this principle of spiritual warfare, you know, I always go back to this. You know, I know most of you have heard it. This is when, as God is explaining this about his will and bringing more clarity to it, it is now making perfect sense to me. The word of God is now becoming so clear why Moses, the moment God told Moses, I'm going to use you to deliver the children of Israel, God did not do it while he was in Egypt. Because God did not want to use the Egyptian power, the Egyptian authority, to set the children of Israel free. Because they cannot be set free by worldly power. The power that will set them free has to be the power of God. So for the power of God to set the children of Israel free, Moses had to die to the flesh. And so God took Moses out of Egypt, stripped him of the ability of the flesh, and to fulfill the plan of God through the flesh. So God crucified his flesh. He didn't die physically. He died to his own ability, his own capacity, to pride. After he died to pride and ability that he can. So now God now uses power, send him to Egypt, and use his power to enforce his will and brought them out. So that's why Joseph could not, the vision God gave to Joseph could not be carried out in Joseph's human capacity. So God had to empty Joseph so that when Joseph now was to fulfill the will of God, the kingdom of God prevailed over Egypt when Joseph's flesh was already crucified. So that's what God does in us. The fruit of the Spirit will not manifest unless the flesh is dying. So as we die to the flesh, we grow in the Spirit through obedience. Jesus put it this way. You know, he says in John chapter 12, unless a corn of wheat goes into the ground and die, it cannot produce fruit. We're going to look into that a little bit in future. It totally changed. This statement I made to you totally is just enforced the need to pray for the will of God and to do everything possible. Say, God, please help me to wait on your will. Because God showed me, he says, unless flesh dies, you cannot really produce fruit for the kingdom of God. Because he says, unless a corn of wheat goes into the ground and dies, he cannot produce fruit. What is fruit? He's talking about spiritual fruit, kingdom fruit, not Ishmael's. So, as we enter this season, you know, as intercessors, one of the most powerful ways to be effective in the Spirit, to have authority in the Spirit, is to win the internal battle, the internal war. And the internal war is to be in a position for your, to be led by the Spirit man, to be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And to always seek what is the will of God, rather than just assuming this is the will of God. I mean, we make effort, we're not perfect, but you take steps not to assume. Because the will of the flesh, let me give you an example. If something is the will of the flesh, okay, and you're praying for it, and you see, you're praying for something that is the will of the flesh, you don't know it's the will of the flesh, God cannot answer that prayer. Because James says we are asking amiss to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why will God, see, God cannot use his power to give you something that is the will of the flesh, or to do something that is the will of the flesh. Now, sometimes, like it happened in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel cried, they were crying so much for meat, God allowed it. You know, and it brought leanness to their soul. It destroyed them. So there are things that, you know, we can, blessings, like King Saul was anointed, made a king. But he could not obey God because he's a man of the flesh. So you saw the consequences of being anointed or being under the anointing or being under the kingdom of God, operating in the will of the flesh. You'll be rejected. God will not be pleased. So when God really loves us, when we are God's children, when we really, God knows our heart, we really love him, we want to do his will, we're really seeking him, but we are unknowingly sometimes praying for the will of the flesh. And sometimes we don't get an answer for a long time. And then we think God is withholding something from us. But sometimes too, if we're asking for the will of God, then God is working for our flesh to die for that thing to be manifested. There are people that are praying for some things. It might be a husband, it might be certain things. But if it's not the right person, or it's what is not the thing God wants to bless you with, you know, sometimes God is not going to bring that to pass until we are praying that which is on God's heart or which is the will of God. So in spiritual warfare, if I'm standing and praying, let me say I am praying against a spiritual situation, against witchcraft or against an attack in a family or something, the first thing I need to always ask God to do is help me, show me your will, show me how to pray in this situation. Show me internally, is there anything that is fighting against my ability to get a breakthrough in this area? Because I must stand on the will of God. I must position myself on the will of God to be able to enforce the kingdom of God over whatever spiritual warfare I am fighting. Let me give you another example. For example, you all remember in the Bible when Joshua won a big war, you know, he won a very big war. And then later, there was a smaller war with the Ai. And just God told them a simple thing: don't touch the accursed thing. They disobeyed. So now they are standing on the platform of disobedience. They are not standing on the will of God. They're standing on the platform of disobedience. And they went to fight a small country and they lost the battle. So just, you know, so we must always, we can never lose any battle that is fought on the will of God. It's impossible. It's impossible to lose any battle that is fought in the will of God. Say, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in all things in Christ. Any battle we fight according to the will of God is already a won battle. We just have to persevere. We just have to be patient. But the victory is not a question. It's already done. We are just enforcing the victory as long as it's the will of God. If we're praying for anything according to the will of God, it will happen. It's a matter of time if we don't quit. It will come to pass. The only thing that will stop it is if we quit before it happens. So as we enter, as we are now in this 2018, the Lord is bringing us to effectiveness, like the disciples were praying, effectiveness in prayer. And Jesus taught them, he says, if you want to see breakthrough, if you know why I'm getting breakthrough all the time, is because I wait on the will of God and I pray the will of God. And the kingdom of God is bound to enforce what is on God's heart. That's why I get breakthrough. So he doesn't rush by the flesh. He's not moved by the flesh. We are growing. Another example before I close is a good example of how Jesus operates. He has a friend. His name is Lazarus. He's his friend. They are friends in the flesh. They are friends, you know, in the ministry. Mary and Martha, he goes there to eat. Lazarus was sick. If you are my friend in the natural, I will be moved quickly in the flesh. I want to come there. I want to do what I can. I'll start praying, blah, 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 binding the sickness, praying. You must be healed. You know, just I go right into the flesh. Or I will not know I'm going to the flesh, but I have good intentions. I desire to see you heal. I desire to see that sickness go. And he start praying. Do you know, as Jesus only waits on God's will, God's timing, and he operates under that. And he gets results. That's why they say, teach us, how do you pray? He said, the key is the will of God. The kingdom of God comes through. So, Lazarus, if Jesus rushed in the flesh and said, ah, that's my friend. Oh, that's the sister. These are the people that feed me all the time. And he starts praying. Or he rushes and goes to lay hands on Lazarus. He's responded in the flesh. And if you study that scripture very well, there was a plan. There was a plan set by the Pharisees to capture him and kill him. He waited. And while he was waiting, Lazarus died. Your friend dies. How could that be friend? I mean, you see, so what flesh puts pressure on us. The will of family, he said, not the will of the blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man. Family blood put pressure on us. If somebody is my family, they are going through something, it puts immediate pressure on us, and we begin to walk quickly in the flesh to solve the problem, because our blood is so moved, and that sometimes pushes us out of the will of God to do it the way God wants to solve the thing. Then the will of man, you can see men will put pressure, and then the will of the flesh, of course, you can see. But if you look at Jesus and Lazarus, that's a good example of how far Jesus has totally surrendered, his death to the flesh, totally surrendered to God. He waited until his friend died. But he already heard what the will of God is. He says, this sickness is for the glory of God. So Mary came and said, oh, if you've been here, of course, you know, if you have, you know, you know what you're trying to say. But that tells you alone why we as humans can be so pressured by the will of men, or pressured by the will of the flesh, or pressured by bloodline. And that those pressure sometimes force us out of hearing exactly how God wants the situation to be done. And how God wants it to be done is exactly where the power of God comes through. I was doing a deliverance one time, and usually, you know, the first thing is, devil come out. We just pray, you devil come out. Or we're casting out devil. We're laying hands, because the Bible says lay hands. But one time, you know, it takes so long. You're praying for somebody. It's like you're fighting. You're going through so much warfare to do deliverance, growing in deliverance. But one day, I just went to do a deliverance for this young lady. She was just manifesting all kinds of, just manifesting. All of a sudden, instead of me just binding the devil and trying to cast the devil out, it's like the Spirit of God said, be silent. I was just silent. And then I just sat down on the chair there. I was silent. I sat down. I didn't do anything. And this lady looked at me. It's like, why are you sitting there? I'm being tormented. What are you doing? It's like, that's what the expression I see. I just quit silent for a while. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God said, just speak peace. I just opened my mouth and said, peace. The Spirit left, right? Just like that. And the girl came to her senses and said, where am I? What happened to me? And then she was at peace, and I took her to the dinner that we're going. Totally normal. So it's not by might, it's not by power. If you watch, if we're able to wait on the will of God, the battle is always spiritual, and God takes care of it. So until we win this internal battle of the will of man always pushing us, the will of flesh, the will, our own will just fighting, until we conquer that, before we can understand levels of yielding to the Spirit, led by the Spirit, living in obedience, and making this thing a work of the Spirit, not a work of the flesh. And it's a growing process. This is what God wants to do in 2018. He wants us to be as children of God, to be led by the Spirit, because we wait on the will of God, praying the will of God. And we can overthrow a lot of things in the Spirit easily, hearing from God than just always just speaking into, I mean, just going all out without first saying, this is the direction God is going. Again, I thank God and for the willing women and for so many people I see that are really doing everything to yield and to learn what it means to hear from the Lord and run with it. So my brothers and sisters, this year, God is going to bring a lot of divine interruptions as we pray the will of God. God's will interrupt our ways. So let's not think it's strange when things start shifting. It's always going to be for our good. And it's going to be a promotion. It's going to be a reward. And we're going to overcome many things. We're going to win many battles in the spirit. We can shift the atmosphere in the nation. We can see God do a lot as we wait and we flow this year, hearing His will, knowing His will, and walking in His will. It's going to be a great year, and we are really going to see a lot of victories, because I know this plan of God for us this year is going to bring us to effective breakthrough. Father, thank you so much for your word. May we personalize this, Father, in every aspect of our lives. Help us, teach us more how to yield so that you can crucify this enemy that fights inside of us, this self nature, this self will, this stubborn direction that has nothing to do with the devil. Help us to overcome this area so that this year we'll truly see easy breakthroughs in Jesus' name. Amen.